This is Average Advice. I'm Zar.
And I'm Tim. Average guys, average stories, average advice.
Welcome to season two, where new and exciting things are on the way.
Stay tuned and stay average.
Average. Do you think we overpromised?
Nah.
Man, this is like the 25th episode of having to like sit through that.
Stay tuned and stay average.
Tuned. Welcome back, Zariel. Zariel, our and in the hot seat today, our good friend Laurent Groom. Laurie, what's up, man?
Hello, guys. How are we?
Welcome to the show. I'm pretty sure you've been told in stories before. You decided to come join the fun.
Name dropped a few times now.
Yeah, I think we've name dropped all of our friends at least once or twice.
You haven't got that many.
All of our friends are Cracker McGee's.
It makes sense.
What was that?
You haven't got that many friends, so.
It's true. That's fucking what Warren said when he came on the fucker.
Yeah, all our stories revolve around the same four people.
All the crazy people in the fucking story. But like when Zar confirmed that you were keen to come on, all these stories just came back to my head. I was like, oh man, I have so many stories about Laurent.
My conversation with Laurie was like, hey, do you want to come on the podcast? We need more guests. And he was like, not really, but I'll do it. And I was like, that's a yes.
Yes.
We're going to get you on the podcast.
I'm here for you guys. I'll support you guys.
Oh, you cutie pity. You cutie pity. But I mean, you've got to like your life has been pretty interesting. Like, you know what I mean? Like when you've had a different path in life, I would say, that most people have taken. I mean, especially from school. Most of the time you were just cycling and stuff like that.
That's true. Yeah, definitely from a young age, I was pretty into my road cycling. So competed at a high level internationally around the country.
Dude, when I found out, when we became friends in year 11, and I found out you used to ride your bike from Tarago to Dixon College, I was like, you are the most insane person I've ever met in my entire life.
Casual.
And then you would like sometimes ride home too. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Don't regret it.
I've never understood.
Dude, how long did that take you to ride?
About 3 hours.
3 hours, dude.
Yeah.
I think I would have a heart attack on the bike halfway through if I ever even attempted that.
You probably would, Tim, yeah.
did you have time for anything else?
No. I mean, yeah. I only hung out with you guys at school, but yeah.
Yeah, and you were the person that was like spearheading us to do it for morning runs and stuff. Yeah.
My favorite times of the year were the Laurie like off season times.
Wow. Let's not talk about it.
I actually forgot about that. We won't go into detail of what happened in those times.
Laurie would come to school and be like, what are you guys? It'd be like a Friday. Be like, so what are you boys doing tonight? We're like, oh, I don't know. Maybe we'll go have some drinks at like Shoey's or something. And you're like, I'm bringing vodka or something. What do you mean you're bringing vodka? He's like, off season, baby.
It was always Bacardi Rum, dude. Yeah, it was Bacardi. Always Bacardi.
Yeah, Bacardi.
It was funny because like just to paint the whole picture, you only got off for like 4 weeks of the year. So you would either not come to parties or come and just be sober and judge us all with your judgmental eyes.
I was a very boring person for like 95% of the year. But for those,
I think that's all athletes.
It was wild. We cut loose.
You basically drank enough alcohol to cover you for the rest of the year anyway.
Correct.
Well, when you're cycling that much as well, your metabolism will be pretty good. So like as soon as you drink the alcohol, it's just like processing. You're like, woo!
Oh yeah, hit me hard.
Well, there's a story. I read an article where someone was giving shit to Floyd Mayweather because whenever we finished a match or about however you do it, but he would come down and drink like a bottle of Coke, and everyone's like, that's so unhealthy for you. He's like, do you understand what my normal life is like? I can drink that and be completely fine.
Yeah,
I'd literally eat nothing most of the time, you fucks. It's just like all these fat people just be like, no, you can't do that unless I can do that.
You know what they say, like everything in moderation. It's like that story I heard about Usain Bolt. like chowing down on chicken nuggets, and they're all like, oh my God, Usain Bolt chowing down on chicken nuggets. I'm like, I'm sure he doesn't eat that for every meal of the day. Exactly. He eats healthy, wins the fucking gold medal, and then he'll have some chicken nuggets. And
celebratory chicken nuggets.
Yeah,
he's healthier than anyone you know. Shut up, dude.
He's living like a monk and following a really strict diet the rest of the year. So why not?
Dude.
Yeah.
And like, not only that, but he'd be contractually obliged to follow a strict diet.
You know?
So like, what, not only does he want to do it for health, but like, if he doesn't, it's financial penalties.
Yeah. And he like won't win the 100 meters, and the whole point of his existence goes out the window. one of my favorite stories was, you guys remember the Commonwealth Games in Delhi? Like, I don't know, like 8 or whatever years ago.
I mean, I've heard of it.
Well, there was Commonwealth Games in New Delhi, 10-ish years ago or something, and like half the athletes got Delhi belly, so they ate
some street
something
food
over there. I don't know about street food, they just ate poor hygienically cooked food, you know what I mean? So half the athletes were sick with gastro.
Fuck that.
And then Usain Bolt refused to eat any of the food. He brought his own, or he got like chicken nuggets. He just like went to Macca's and bought chicken nuggets, or brought chicken nuggets and just ate that. And then he won all the events.
Because everyone was in gastro.
Well, he would have won anyway, but
nothing new on race day. You got to eat what you know. And if he knows chicken nuggets, that's safe. That's what you do.
You know your body, man. Yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, you're running so much. It's just like food. It's just food for the, it's fuel. It's fuel. It's going to get burnt that day. So who cares what you eat?
That's it. Mm-hmm. Calories in.
Yeah.
So you know pretty well the athlete lifestyle and the dedication, the hard work that's got to go into it.
Yeah, I've done the early mornings and the hurting yourself a lot to try and eke 1% of performance out. But I don't
remember. Was it worth it?
What's that?
Was it worth it?
The lifestyle.
Yeah, let's say yes. Obviously, for everyone that's listening and doesn't know me, I'm not a professional athlete. I didn't make it. So in that sense, but I had a great time doing it, and I did learn a lot about myself and what I'm capable of. So no regret.
And you pushed it. That's the thing. Like, but doing it for that early too, it just creates good habits. Like I know the first time I saw you when you were like off after you left cycling behind and you got super fat, like fat compared to you are now.
Super fat.
Yeah, super fat. Like Laurie fat. He was just like, he went to 90 kilos instead of like 45. but like you were chunkier, right? You stopped giving a fuck.
Yeah.
You were eating like crazy.
Eating whatever and not exercising.
Yeah. Finally, you could let loose. So you overindulged.
Correct.
But then like, because you were living in Wollongong at the time, so when he saw you over a couple of months, I saw you really, really chunky, and then you came down a couple of months later and you were like 6% body fat. And I was like, can you like go fuck yourself?
Yeah.
Do you know how hard that is for me? And you can just do it in like 3 months. You're like, yeah, I needed to get rid of all that. Like, it was annoying me.
Definitely. Like, I know how to lose weight really quickly and kind of in a healthier fashion than, just not eating. So
yeah.
I mean, I'm like, ever since my 29th birthday, I've been like, all right, I have 1 year to get my life, because I was like, I don't want to fucking, I want to get, I had all these things that I wanted to hit before I got 30. And I'm like, well, I definitely want to lose weight and quit smoking. So I'm just like, all right, well, I made like a little spreadsheet. It's like 12 months. I'm like, each month, I'm on my fourth week at the moment in the first month. And I haven't weighed myself yet, but I'm like, if I haven't lost any weight, I'm going to be so annoyed because I've been killing myself this month.
I think you need to weigh yourself just like once a week, just so you can track it, but not food.
Well, I'm just doing it like every like once a month sort of thing. I can do it once a week, but like once a month is good too, because then you like, cause what I did do this month, after like 2 weeks, I did weigh myself. But I weighed myself at the wrong time. It was like after a weekend. I had a couple of beers on the weekend. See. And like my weight was actually more than I started. I was like, oh, fuck, I'm never doing that again.
Weigh yourself on like a Friday before work.
Yeah.
Like before the weekend.
You do big shit. That's the trick.
Yeah. But I also agree with Laurie. I think weighing yourself more regularly, like weekly, is better because helps you track it. I mean, if you, for instance, have a slow week, then you'll be able to remember why that might be the case. Like maybe you had a few more cheat meals or maybe you didn't exercise much. Whereas if it's over a month and you've lost like 2 kilos or 5 kilos, you don't really know what were the habits or what were the reasons that. Yeah. So I think it's better to track it in shorter periods. But you definitely don't need to do it every day, because if you do it every day, you'll get depressed at how little you're fucking losing weight.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's two types, because if you do it every day, because you can use like the fitness apps, right? And you just put your everyday thing, and then it's like a slow, you can see the graph, it's like a slow decline sort of thing. But I like the sharp declines.
As long as the general trend is down, because your body weight is going to fluctuate hugely just day to day, depending on water content. So
yeah, aren't you supposed to get your average weight through the week? Like you're supposed to like do it every day and then like times it by 7 or whatever.
Yeah, if you have the self-control not to get depressed, but that's really hard. Like if you wake up,
which is why I'm doing it once a month. Yeah. I figured I'm like, if I do it once a month, I start at the beginning, then just go crazy that month as much as you possibly can, because you're like, I don't know what it is, I don't know what it's at.
I think,
but you know, at the end of the month, you don't want it to be higher than you started.
Definitely.
That's all you want. Like, yeah, that's the important part.
What exercise routines are you guys doing now? Obviously not cycling anymore, but do you cycle casually?
I cycle casually. Like I probably do 100K a week on the bike, which is usually 2 or 3 rides. That's pretty casual for me. But I do run pretty much every day. At least like...
Will you run and cycle on the same
day? Oh, yeah, for sure. Cycling is like a nothing activity now. I don't like get tired from it. Not what I'm doing at the moment.
And you're not going super hard.
No, that's it. I'm just riding to the cafe with some mates, getting a coffee and coming home. Like it's
how far how far is the ride to the cafe?
Depending,
because if you're doing 100 Ks,
like we could go down the coast for 30K and then come back another 30K.
Don't mind those sirens.
Who's got sirens?
I just live in Newtown. That's a daily occurrence.
That makes me want to get a bike now. Just fucking ride.
I recommend it. Like it's low impact, so it's not going to hurt your knees, your joints. And it's definitely, it's good steady state cardio. Perfect.
Yeah, it's really smart. I did the complete opposite and I got rollerblades. And that's not good on any of your joints, all your bones, all your muscles. because, as I told you already, I was running. So I had this plan for run every day. It's just like, try not to have a rest day. Just go as long as possible without having a rest day. And so far, I've had 3 rest days this month. Every day I've done something long. Like, it's pretty good, right? If I didn't go to the gym and do a run, I would went and did like the Bondi to Coogee walk or something to replace it.
Yeah.
But I was getting over the, but it's what I was doing. I was getting on the treadmill and I started at 8 and the goal was just, I have to run the whole way. Just run the whole way. Because I knew I could do it at 8, right? 8 Ks an hour. And then every day I just upped it by 0.1. So now I'm up to 9.5 and I haven't failed yet. I haven't failed. So every single time I up it, you just run further. But it's like progressive overload sort of thing because you're doing it so gradually.
Yeah.
And then I got rollerblades just to like get outside, to do a little bit more outside.
For sure. I think the most important thing is to enjoy what you're doing. You know, like if you're outside rollerblading or skating or, you know, bike riding for me, that we enjoy that and that's going to help you keep doing it. That's
important. And if you enjoy it, you can deceive yourself because sometimes you don't even realize that you're working out or you're doing a huge workout. Sometimes I get back from rollerblading and I'm like just drenched in sweat. I'm like, oh shit.
But that's good.
That was fucking brutal.
So Laurie, if you were to... Like for someone like me, for instance, I'm about half an hour from work drive.
Classic.
And if I was to start doing that into cycling, obviously I'd have to leave a lot earlier. Mm. It'd probably take 2 to 3 times as long.
But
would you recommend a road bike for that kind of like for long distance?
I think when you're talking that distance, like I'm assuming that's at least 15K, right? 15, 20K.
Something like that.
It's from, for all your Canberra listeners, it's from like Belconnen, like sort of Kayleen area to the airport.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's going to be like a solid 20K. You definitely want a road bike. It's just going to be more comfortable and more efficient, a little bit faster, a bit more comfortable.
And you're going to be on the roads most of the time. So it would make sense to be a road.
Canberra is awesome because there's, you know, such good
bike paths everywhere.
The infrastructure is amazing. I live in Wollongong. And it's shit in comparison.
I feel like a lot of those, like, but Wollongong is, I guess, like a pretty big, because Wollongong is a pretty big city. I mean, it's still got
pretty spread out.
It's
but it's still got quite a big population. I think there's like 200, 300,000 or something like that.
It's not quite Canberra size, but it's still pretty big.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. But I feel like a lot of those larger cities, like Canberra size and above, or even just below Canberra size, they're not built for cyclists. Like, they didn't build them for like cyclists. Like,
it's Canberra's really interesting to me, like, because they didn't have permission to build high. Like, there's a really, really low height limit in Canberra.
Yeah.
So then they had no choice but to build out. But now I think they're either acquiring more land or they're getting to the end of their land. So they're going to have to, like, more compact. That's why there's all these high rises and stuff, like apartment buildings. But, like, it's why is Sydney all, like, 50, 60 stories, but Canberra can't?
You know? Wollongong's really interesting because it's built between the beach and the mountains. So there's limited usable space. So the population,
you guys have to build up.
That's huge. Like, we've got 30-story buildings, heaps of them.
But there's what's weird about Wollongong, whenever I drive in there, it's not like a skyline like Sydney.
Yeah,
there's just one random one or one random one over here, and you're like, why?
Yeah.
Why is it like that? I just don't understand.
We just don't have the people yet.
Architecture, man. Yeah, you're like a little fishbowl.
We're just a suburb of Sydney now. So
I was about to say that, but I wasn't sure if it was offensive yet.
No, it's accepted here.
I was reading some interest. Like, I don't know. I get really into like kind of like geography and like stuff about population. I don't know why, but I was reading that soon Brisbane's going to be the biggest city in Australia because it and Gold Coast are like this. Eventually they're just going to become one big city.
I thought that was already the case.
The population of Gold Coast to about Brisbane, and it's like, yeah, it's going to be fucking huge.
Well, I thought that was already the case. I thought Gold Coast was like super close to Brisbane.
The point, Tim. That's what I mean. It's like they're going to meet up eventually and just be one huge city.
Yeah, but I thought that already happened. I didn't think that. Like,
no,
I thought they were always connected. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, in a sense, they probably are, but like they're technically
like highways and shit.
Yeah, they're two separate places, but I think eventually it's just going to be merged into one big mega city. Eventually, the entire East Coast is going to be city. The whole East Coast.
Well, that's because the other half is just all desert. Like, like we have such huge landmass in Australia, but most of it is unusable dirt.
Mm.
Like, it's so weird when you think about Perth, because I'm like, I've never been to Perth. I don't really think I'll ever go to Perth, but it's like the most isolated city in the world. It's just surrounded by fucking desert.
You got to go to Perth one day. It's
really?
Yeah, I rate Perth.
It's cool there.
Sell it to me. What's good about Perth?
Well, it's not even Perth, but like WA, because as you're saying, like,
it's very tropical. I know that.
You get, as you're saying, Tim, you're like East Coast Australia, most people live there. Then you got kind of desert, and then along the south coast up to Adelaide is kind of like, you know, people. But then sort of Adelaide, you go further west, it's just desert everywhere. Yeah, and then when you finally get to WA, when you get to WA and you actually get to like bushland again, they have different plants. Weird looking plants, weird looking bushes, weird looking flowers, weird looking trees. Mm. You feel like you're in a different country. To be honest, I went there and was like,
I heard that in a podcast recently, like these two Americans were talking about when they went to Perth. They're like, yeah, that's like, it's crazy. You'd just be sitting there and there would be like this tropical fucking bird just flies down. Cause it's like, and I'm like, I didn't think it was that far away. Jesus.
Did you go to Rottnest Island when you were there, Zara?
I haven't been to Rottnest Island. I went to Albany.
Yeah, okay.
Most recently.
What's Rottnest Island?
It's just like this tiny little island off Perth. But it has quokkas just that are like so friendly. Quokkas are like
quokkas. That's that little squirrel looking thing, right?
They're so cute.
Yeah.
It's like a squirrel wombat at the same
time. For sure, there was a meme going around. It was like the cutest animal in the world or something because it's just in
there.
For
sure. Yeah. And they're so friendly. They just
It might have been during the bushfires.
Yeah.
Because it might have been just quokkas being like running around.
Save us.
I remember there was that video going around where there's just koalas like begging tourists for water.
Oh, man, that's tragic.
Team.
You remember in year 12 when so me, Laurie and Sam were like the three amigos. We always used to hang out. And then Laurie went overseas for cycling.
Of course I remember.
I think France or something. And then you became like the third amigo for like the 3 months he was gone. We're just like,
I was Kmart Laurie. I was Kmart Laurie. They like put me on lay-by until Laurie came back. I was like, that gave me a lot of anxiety, honestly, because I was like, when he was coming back, I was like, am I just gonna get abandoned? Like, what's gonna happen?
He gets back, and me and Sam are like, bye.
Yeah, just please, Laurie's back.
We just became,
but no, then we just became the four amigos.
Yeah. We kind of like knew you before I went overseas, but we weren't like super friendly.
Yeah, I know. I remember, like, because I was sort of trying to become friends with that whole group in year 10. Like, I was sort of coming over a little bit more through Lawton.
Yeah.
But it didn't work at one point. I remember that because you were having one of your like camping things on your farm, right? And everyone got invited, and I was like, oh, can't come? And you're like, oh, sorry, man, don't have much space. And I was like, damn it. And then later on in year 12, I got on the camping. I'm like, made it. I made it on the camping trip. Yeah.
I think I missed one of the campings at your parents' place. I think I wasn't there for like the first one, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like the first one was more the Campbell High kids, like playing Portelli and Rory. Yeah.
Courtney.
Different crew, Joel. Yeah.
Oh, those guys.
Yeah.
Looking back on it, it was like, we were not safe. We were very, very drunk in the woods. Like,
there's no phone service where they are.
I mean, we were on your property, but I mean, we were definitely just running around the woods at one point. I remember.
Oh, yeah. No torches, nothing. Drunk at.
No, building shelter like real men.
Yeah.
Yeah, we built our own shelter, which was a tent that
we lived.
Well, I mean, we did build this. We just didn't sleep in the shelter. We built it. We just slept. I slept in the car.
We cook our own food. I feel like we were adults that night.
Somewhat adults.
We've at least
pretty sure you ran away and climbed a tree at one point. We're like, get down, Lauren. That sounds like get down,
dude. I was thinking the other day. I used to love like those days in college where it'd be like a Friday afternoon, and it's like approaching the end of school, and I'd just be like I just like look at you boys, and you're like, what are you guys doing tonight? We're like, I don't know. We want to go to Sam's and watch movies under a fort. like make a fort and watch movies, swim in his pool and have a barbie or whatever. And it was just like Sam's parents never cared. They were just like, yeah, come round. We'll fucking cook up a feast. Yeah. His mum was always like, oh, you're bringing the boys over.
That's Kate and Brett. Great. They were like parents for the whole group.
Oh, dude, when I first met, when he was on, I brought this up, but like when I first met him and I went to his house and I realized how close we were, I was like, oh, I'm going to be here a lot. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. Like, think about how many different orientations we've seen in that back room. Like, so many people, when we first moved there, it was a completely different orientation than you lived there.
Yeah, Larry, I lived there for
you lived in there. Like, that's a crazy time. I remember when you lived with me for like, what was it? It was like 4 months, and we were having like a party like way too often. We were just disguising them as barbecues.
Yeah,
we're just like, yeah, we're just having barbecues. But then all of
I think I remember that. Was that when you had the van?
Yeah, he had the van, and we went and got those couches for my Halloween party.
Yeah, we had so many random like, nights.
So many random nights. I was just like, everyone come over, and we'll just have beers. And it's like
just. On a Wednesday. The episode of reminiscing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's all we have.
Good times over in Carabar for a long time. I mean, we had a lot of fun times at your house, Tim. I remember me and Sam played Xbox in your shed once.
Yeah.
And I remember we'd just be playing Halo. And whenever you'd like try and shoot Sam, you'd be like, suck my dick! Suck my dick!
Dude, these old school game nights were just... They were just so much fun, you know what I mean? We're all like 29, 30. We're all old, and we're like, man, can't we just bring back to our youth where it's just exciting to just play games now?
Just
games are still fun, but it's not as exciting. What was that?
The lack of responsibility. I miss that.
Yeah. When you were talking about before, when you were just chilling at school, I remember the feeling when I was at uni for like the one semester I was at uni. But it was me, you, and like our friend Annie. We were all just chilling because we were in between periods, and like it was like a nice sunny day. And you're like, man, this is the cool life. And then now we're all working, and you're just like, man, I wish I was back there. Even though I hated it at the time, I hated all that waiting around. I hated school. I just wish I was back there when you just like had nothing to do, and all the little responsibilities and drama that you had seems so big, but it's just so little now.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty much. I feel like I feel like I never have time for things anymore. But then, like, back then, I felt like I was always just, like, so bored and always keen to do something. Mm. It's just, like, such a change. Now I'm like, if I've got something on, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's a chore.
It's kind of a bit of a hassle. And I don't want to use my my valuable time on that. You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's because, like, obviously, when we're working, we work for 5 days a week forever. There's no end to it. With school, it's all structured up into terms, semesters. Maybe they should think about that for work. Like, you just work for semesters.
Maybe you should be
and then you'll have like 2 weeks off. Then you come back for another semester and then you have another 2 weeks off. I think that'd be good for mental health, to be honest. Let's treat it like school.
If you become a teacher, you get that, right?
Well,
I think it's the right lessons
I've heard
stuff in those times.
So Soren's a teacher. I don't know if you knew
that.
Oh,
wow. Right? No, that's a used to
be. Yeah, math teacher. Soren teaches maths at Hawker College. And also our mate Harrigan, who was on the show earlier this season.
Is he a teacher now?
Yeah. No. He's not a teacher, but his partner's a teacher.
Oh, okay.
And recently we just went on the cruise down to Tassie.
Yep.
And she was saying that
super fun.
Because you're a teacher, you get like all the holidays, right? You get like 2 weeks at the end of the term and then you get the 6 week or whatever it is, summer holidays, right? So you can't, apparently, I mean, according to her, you can't actually take leave if you want time off because you're given all this, you're given paid leave for those periods. So you can't just take voluntary paid leave. Yeah. So if you take leave outside of those times, it's unpaid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that makes sense. Like, but then you just organize all your like going away in those times. That's, if you have
well time. They don't actually have a vacation. That's when they got a plan for the next semester or the next term. During that 2 week period, they have a lot of work to do. So it's like it sounds good when you at first, but in reality it's actually not. Like, you don't actually
get teacher has never sounded good to me. I was a student. I know what those motherfuckers have to deal with.
You were
sometimes terrible. For me, I was a douchebag child.
Well, like, if you're gonna be a teacher, you gotta do what Soren did and be a college teacher. Because if you become a high school teacher, you want to neck yourself. Like, the kids are just terrors in high school, but in college, you know, especially if you do something like maths in college, the students that are in your class are the students that need to do it for uni. So they fucking listen. And if they don't, you just go, well, I'll fail you. You don't have to come to class. I'll just fail you.
Yeah. Right well, here. I mean, it's all by choice. It was the same in Dixon where they're like, dude, but you don't have to be here. We don't care. Go.
I feel like that's a big Canberra thing though. I feel like in New South Wales, because it's like high school's to year 12. It's
they don't have college in
New South
Wales. Yeah. It's a lot harder to just drop out in year 10 in New South Wales. Unless you have.
Well, no, it's easier because a lot of people did drop out in year 10, but then they'll just go and do an apprenticeship instead of just doing the full thing. But I mean, it's the same. It's not as easy because obviously we had to change schools. Like, it's a whole new experience for us, even though 90% of the people at our college were the same people that we knew in our high school anyway, because everyone went to the same fucking high school.
It was like us in Lynham. That was Dixon College.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just melded. I remember then in year 11.
Flutterings of other areas.
Yeah. There was that mad rivalry between like Lynham and Dixon, Lynham and Campbell at the beginning of year 11. And I was like, this is so dumb. Shut up. why are we talking about this?
That's high school, man. It was all so dumb.
Oh, so true. That's so true. Looking back, all the shit you do is just all of it's dumb. You're like, why? Why?
Laurie, are you still plumbing at the moment?
I am. Yeah, I'm a plumber.
Yeah. For all our listeners, Laurie is a plumber. He was directing a company for a while. I think you got rid of that idea in the end. You sold your shares?
Yeah, so my parents started a plumbing company 32 years ago. So I took over about 4 years ago, ran it for 3 years, and then sold it.
It was very
stressful.
Cashing in the money.
Yeah, are you employed? Are you still employed by Groman?
No, so it's now Southern.
Groman doesn't exist.
Say again, Laurie.
It's now Southern Industrial Plumbing Group. So we got bought out by a much larger plumbing company that were looking to expand into the Illawarra region.
Yeah. So, but are you employed by them?
I am. Yeah. I'm one of their supervisors now.
Oh yeah. Cool. Do you enjoy that more? Like, obviously you got responsibility, but not like,
Yeah, it's so much better. Like, I run a team of four blokes, and it's the same guys that used to work for me. So there's, you know, a lot of experience and knowledge, and they trust me and I trust them, and we get the job done.
Yeah, yeah. And you locked out, do you? Like, you sold the company, you're like, happy days, and you're like, oh, also, can I have a job? And then they just brought you on the payroll.
They asked me to stay on, like, to do transition. Because this is obviously a new region for them. They didn't have anybody based here. So for them to keep me, I know the customers, it keeps the customers happy. So
I mean, you're already doing the job anyway.
Exactly. Everyone's happy.
It was definitely a smart move. Smart move.
I'm pretty proud of myself.
Why wouldn't you be? I mean, when you first moved to Wollongong and you were like living in the workshop, like you did the hard yards up there, man. I mean, to be fair, if I owned a workshop and I could just live there for free, I'm like, fuck yeah. Save you money.
That was the main thing, like free rent. That's, you know, awesome.
Close to work?
I just go downstairs.
Yeah. Why the fuck wouldn't you? It's a win-win.
Perfect situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're just chilling now. You're just doing your plumbing work and were you living at the same house that we came to last time?
Yeah, so I'm renovating it. I've just got the kitchen left.
Still.
I've done everything else. Yeah, it's been 3 years. Like, it's been very slow.
Yeah. I remember when you first moved there, you're like, I'm just going to renovate it. Maybe take me a year and then I'll sell it. You've been there for 3 years, still not done.
It's such a perfect house to live in though, because I have a huge dog and I have a big yard that's well fenced, and you know, we're both comfortable there.
And just buy and hold, right? Buy and hold. It's going to go up that
area. Yeah, that's it. It's already doubled in value, so. Just keep holding.
Dude.
Living the
sweet life. We're talking real estate here and average advice. average real estate advice. Sell your stocks. Fine. All right, do you want to go to a bucket, Zabi?
Yeah, we'll go to a bucket. Laurie knows about the bucket of mysteries. Yeah, everyone else who listens regularly, you know about the bucket of mysteries. For all you new listeners, our bucket of mysteries is a bucket of mystery topics where we talk about
it's pretty much in the title.
Whatever the paper tells us to talk about, we talk about. So,
do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
All right.
Let's see. What role? This is a good one. What role do creativity and innovation play in our future, and how can we foster them in ourselves and others?
Fuck. That's some deep ass.
That is too deep right there. Hey, I'm a plumber, man.
Creativity and innovation. Okay. So, they're obviously very important. Like innovation, when a civilization doesn't innovate anymore, they just stall, in my opinion. They're just like, that's what happened in the Dark Ages, right? Like they just, all scientific research, everything's just stopped because there was no innovation into new things.
Well, I think they went backwards in the Dark Ages. That was kind of like a reversal of innovation.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of creativity. I'm sure there was a lot of creativity.
You had to follow the standard.
Yeah.
You had to follow like the standard and what the church said. You had to follow that to a T. And if you did anything outside the box, anything creative, anything innovative, they'd like kill you.
You'd be a witch.
Well, I mean,
you're a witch.
Even today, when you innovate, I mean, you're discovering something new. So like you're always going to crash and burn. I'm look at Elon Musk, right? After his last rocket just blew up. Everyone was just like, oh, look at him, he doesn't know what he's doing. I'm like, how many times have you made a rocket go that fast? Like, it doesn't seem that easy, dude. It takes a couple of fucking times.
You gotta love social media haters, dude. just like rip into anything they can, like some big headline, and they're just like, oh, that boy, Elon Musk is a little bitch. It's like,
it's gotta be he's very catty.
He's got 100 billion dollars. He's doing a lot of shit and you're complaining? Like, okay.
Yeah, it's his money. If he wants to build a
rocket. Yeah, exactly. And all the people, I said that to someone else when Zuckerberg was like, everyone was hating on Zuckerberg. They're like, why is he spending his money on this? I'm like, it's his money. Who gives a fuck? And they're like, it's actually not. It's an investor's money. I'm like, did you invest? And he's like, no. I'm like, well, shut the fuck up. Like, it's not your money either. Like, so
it's investors' money. So, what's it to you?
Honestly, social media has gotten real bad. And I think it's just, it's exacerbating the issue because all these influencers and stuff, see how they get clicks. So they're always the same videos and the same like vibe or message they're trying to send. And it's just creating more and more arguments and more hostility and more subdividing groups. I just don't see it going well over the next couple of years. Yeah. It's very toxic now. It's really bad.
Like, yeah, it's weird. Creating those weird, like, would you call them echo chambers? Those echo chambers of just like. Yeah,
it's a good word.
Yeah, it was so like you have an opinion or you have a thought about something and you just go online and find your group and your echo chamber where you just like, I hate Elon Musk. We also hate Elon Musk. Oh my God. I must be right.
It's an opinion they've already got, even if that's.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even know. Because they're just being
picked
up. But the thing is, I don't know anyone that creates statuses or actually goes on Facebook or anything and actually posts like often. I'll post on Instagram more than I will ever post on Facebook. The last post I've ever done was on our Average Advice Facebook page.
Because we do that
for these. But that's it. I never post anything to Facebook otherwise. I just use it for videos.
Was when we were in college. Like, that's 10 years ago now.
You barely used it then though.
True, yeah.
I feel kind of like cringe almost thinking about when I was in school and I'm like, come up, I'd like think of something I thought was really witty or funny and be like, I'm going to make a Facebook post so that like I get attention. It's just like essentially all it was. And now I think about it, I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
You should do it.
I brought in that.
Look. Post some stuff to the Average Advice page. I want to laugh.
Well, I mean, I went through, because you know how Facebook has memories now. When they brought in memories, I was like, why the fuck would I want to see this shit? All these really crabby posts that I posted, like, Tim McGinnis is feeling great on a Friday night. Fucking, I don't want to see that little part, motherfucker. I would love to go back and just slap myself in the face, be like, stay off Facebook. Stay off it. Don't post shit. Especially when you're drunk, you're just like, oh, who's out tonight? What's going on? Gross. I hate myself. And I hate who I used to be.
So I think, you know, we've gone into this like internet, social media is terrible and all this stuff. But you think about it, that was a creation. That was an innovation. Mm. That was something that someone came up
with. Good callback.
And I think in some ways, like you think of the good parts of social media, like the way it connects you to people. You can find some good, like I love my meme pages.
I love the good meme.
I've been following Lord of the Rings memes and I have never pissed myself so much. And I always send them to Ross and Yaz because they like Lord of the Rings. Oh man. And I'm so glad I followed this page, man. Cause it just like has brought light to my life in dark times. You know,
I love how popular memes have gotten. Remember memes started on like meme base and like 4chan? We had to actually go to meme base to look at memes. And now memes are fucking everywhere.
I've never gone on 4chan before.
Yeah.
I've heard about it and I've just never.
You're showing.
I've been on 4chan like early on, like when it was like the old school 4chan where it was just like random crap. Where it was sort of like a little bit like Reddit, where it was just sort of just a wild, wild west of crap. But now you go on 4chan's fucking crazy now. It's even more of a wild, wild west. It's like a wild, wild west in the apocalypse. It's real bad.
I don't even worry about 4chan, Laurie. Like don't even bother your thoughts on that.
They're like the beginning trolls of the internet. Beginning trolls of the internet came from 4chan.
I've only just discovered Reddit. That's kind of where I'm at.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Reddit's great.
There's a lot of information on there. I don't know.
Oh, anything.
Yeah.
I think Reddit's really good for like, if you have something that you have a lot of interest in and you just join the subreddit, you'll always find something that hooks you, you know? You'll just be on Reddit. And you'll like go, you'll be just something about something you're interested in. And then you'll be stuck reading it for like 10 minutes and be like, what the fuck? I've been reading this like pointless blog of comments for 10 minutes. Like I always follow chess stuff on there. I just can't help myself. I'll just be like, ooh, and that's just go on for minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I've done. I'm just like following cycling and athletics and.
Well, I mean, you have to create your own interests on those social medias. That's the whole point of them, right? You just follow things that you like. What blows my mind, as you were talking about before, like these things that get created, like new innovative things. Imagine, like, obviously the first iPhone. The iPhone completely changed everything. So,
ooh, except that's a Samsung.
Get out of here with you.
But smartphones.
Well, yeah, from smartphones, iPhone. But iPhone started the smartphone reel. Like, really, the launch of iPhones in 2007 created, they basically destroyed the market. Oh, and then everyone else had to
compete. I remember in year 11, the first time I got the iPhone 4, like a 4S or something.
The one where it was square.
Yeah, so rounded, iPhone 4S. And previous to that, I'd never had a smartphone. I'd always had an iPod. And I was like, you mean they can be the same thing?
And you can
and so I got one and I was like, this is the holy grail.
Dude, it was so normal to have. But then there were still people in like year 11 and year 12 when you had an iPhone, but people were still so used to carrying around their iPod. So they just carried around their iPod and their iPhone. You're like, why? Why are you doing that? You could have a whole pocket free.
I remember having an iPod Touch and like a Nokia old school numpad phone.
Touch was the best.
That was so good.
I remember I'd finished school. I went down and finished school and I went and bought an iPod Touch for the first time. And because I saw one of our rich friends using it on the bus. You know, there was always that one guy that had it before everyone else. You're like, you're so fucking rich. And it was the same with like the new gaming console. Like someone would come with we all had DSs and someone would come in with a DS Lite and they'll just be like, oh, what the fuck?
Dude,
always the rich person.
I feel like we were in such a pinnacle era of technology. You know, this like transition.
A lot of stuff.
Like
came
we out. Had we had phones, but like when we were 13, 14, we had like flippy phones or whatever. And we were like, look how cool this is. But then like the transition now and smartphones are the norm. And like my younger siblings have like smartphones. They have their own computers and an iPad and just like. Access to whatever they want, whenever they want, with like streaming services and all this stuff. And like, as you said, like Nintendo DS and bloody PlayStation 5s. And you think like when the PS2 came out, we're like, holy shit, it was crazy. Dude, the PS2, that's crazy. You can play PS1 games and DVDs.
I still remember the day that I got my Game Boy Color. Like a Game Boy Color for my birthday.
Me too,
and
dude.
I was sitting there playing my Pokemon Gold, just fucking loving life. And I was like, this is the funnest game ever.
For me, the good one was the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, I got the SP because I never got the Advance.
The Game Boy Advance screen actually lit up, and I was like, oh, I can actually play this in the dark now because the Game Boy Color screens didn't light up. It was ridiculous.
Well, because it went from Game Boy Color and then it went to Game Boy Advance, which is like the square one. And then it went to the Game Boy Advance SP, which I skipped the Advance completely and I got like the flip one and it was like a flip one. I fucking loved that thing. I was on that thing all the time. And then like not long ago, before I moved up to Sydney, I gave my nephews my old DS Lights. I had two for some reason. I don't know where I got the second one from, but I had two. Gave it to them. They were like super happy. And then I found out my brother and like sister-in-law, they are so strict on how much they can use tech. They're like, and they can only use it on the weekends and like only for a little bit. And I'm like, man. Our lives were so different. I was using that shit 24/7. It did not leave my hand for so long. I was playing Pokemon, trying to become the very best, man. It takes time.
Did it ever happen, Tim? Did you catch them all?
No, unfortunately, I got close, but never caught them all. All right, I'll go to my bucket question. All right.
I feel like catching them all was such a big task. It would take so long.
How many?
Well, I mean, it kept getting worse. There's like thousands now. There's so many.
There is over 1,000 now.
Yep. There was only like 199 in the first one we were playing.
Before we go to the next topic, what was your favorite, or both of you, your favorite Pokemon game?
Oh, shit. Oh, favorite overall?
My first one was Pokemon Silver.
Yeah.
Mine was Gold. Yeah.
Mine was Gold. The next generation, though, I think it was Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah.
They were the best. They were fun. They were the ones I
played. Yeah, I would say Emerald because Emerald was the best of both of those games. I played Ruby so often, but because like Emerald was like both, so you could have both the storylines of both Sapphire and Ruby playing. Those games were fun. And I played like Fire, Leaf, Green. There's so many. There's so many good Pokemon games.
Leaf, Green, like the remakes of them. Yeah.
Dude, there was like eight of those games.
I got the Heart Gold on the DS, which was like the remake of Pokemon Gold, but then it had like all the new Pokemon and all this other stuff, and it was like the next gen. Oh, that game was amazing, and it was so nostalgic, but new at the same time. Favorite game to this day.
Because I loved that. Heart Gold was a great remake.
I think it's the best remake they've made.
100%.
Yeah.
I remember I spontaneously bought a Nintendo DS 3DS just so I could play the remake of Ruby, and it was dog shit. I was like, this is a dog shit remake, and I was so sad because I was like, that's the only reason I bought the fucking console, just so I could play that fucking game. And I was like, oh, this is just so shit. Because they changed the entire style. Like, everything was, like, 3D and stuff. I'm like, why couldn't you do it like Heart Gold, where they just upgraded the graphics a little bit. It was still basically the same game, and you could run. I just loved the fact that you could run.
Simple. You could run and cycle at the same time. Perfect game for Laurie.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. I love that. I should
like cycling. I need a copy. And there's two types of bikes. There's an aero bike and a match bike.
Is that the one you can hop on? I think I've seen that.
Yeah, it was, like, an aero bike for, like, speed, and then there was, like, a mountain bike.
That's sick. I want a copy.
Anyway, go to your topic, Tim.
Just before that, I love that one of Laurie's favorite games is Pro Cycling Manager. No joke.
Yeah, don't even get me started, guys. This is like some hardcore number crunching data game for nerdy cyclists. I love it. Play that.
It's like Football Manager. There was also like, I think there was a wrestling game too, where you could like wrestle manager, where you're basically a manager of a wrestling team. And I'm like, this, what the fuck is up with these games?
Well, yeah, I remember watching you play that, and I remember seeing like, there's a lot of strategy actually goes into it. Like, it's not just like, make the cyclist go faster. Yeah. Okay, maybe go better. Like, you actually be like, okay, we've got to conserve his energy. You got to know when to use this and do this. And I was like, oh, okay.
And that's just in a race. Like, you're also looking at the whole season. You need to sign riders, coach riders, tell them when to train hard, when to go easy, what races they
can. It would be interesting to own a team of cyclists.
I get amongst those like sports games. I love like FIFA and shit on like the PlayStation. Like, I love that shit, man. Like building a team and having the season and managing players and
I think that's me. The best kind of game of that is like the WWE versus Raw SmackDown games. They are so much fun in like party games because you just literally hate each other with chairs and shit.
I feel
so
like that's not really a sports game though, like in the same sense. Like, there's not really a strategy game. You just learn like the combos and you just like smash each other and you just win the
title. Definitely no strategy. You just whack each other with like sledgehammers and fucking steel chairs and shit.
Yeah.
Good strategy.
All right, ready? So, who was your first celebrity crush and why? I have a good answer.
Oh. Mine's got to be Emma Watson, Hermione Granger.
Your first ever?
Yeah.
Your first one was Hermione Granger.
What do you mean? What do you mean? I was like 12 when the third movie came out and she started hot suddenly.
That was your first crush?
What?
I'm thinking like Sandra Bullock in like Congeniality. Like, wow. Let's go way back.
Yeah. I agree with you that she's definitely, Emma Watson was a babe. But
there's a difference between me thinking that someone's a babe and then me like crushing on someone. So like, I remember when I was like, because I was, you know, 12 or whatever, and then the third movie came out and she's like, I don't know, like 14 or 15. And I was like, oh, she's like an older teenage chick and she's suddenly like hot. And I was just like...
It was very sudden, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It probably wasn't, but because we only know her through movies, it was very sudden.
Yeah, the glow up. She was a bit of a nerd, and then wow.
From number two, she had like the Hagrid hair, and then all of a sudden she just became like an actual person. Mine was 100% Alyssa Milano from Charmed.
I was
so in love with her for so long.
Yeah.
She was gorgeous.
She's dreamy.
Yeah. I think she was a lot of people's first celebrity crushes. She was so good in that movie too, that show.
Yeah.
What about you, Laurie? Sandra Bullock?
I'm just gonna go with Sandy B for show.
Sandy B. I was attracted to her, but I put her in the sort of the Julia Roberts attractive level where I'm like, she's attractive, but not like super attractive like Elizabeth.
She acted in a lot of like action movies, which I think was more, you know, interesting to me.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
I do remember when I was young seeing it was like a movie with Selma Hayek.
Yeah.
Hayek, and I was really young, and I remember like,
she's good.
I'm not even at puberty yet, but
she was in From Dusk to Dawn, that Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
And like the scene is literally she's a stripper and she has to shove her foot in a man's mouth pour alcohol down her leg so he could drink it off her foot. And then Quentin Tarantino just cast himself in that role. And I'm like, of course, that's a boss move. That's a boss move right there. But oh, Salma Hayek has to do what? All right. Oh, we can't find a person. Oh, sorry. Budget cuts. Like, what the fuck?
Dude, speaking of Tarantino, that just takes me back to watching Pulp Fiction in Sam's fucking granny flat.
Oh, man.
And Reservoir Dogs. We watched that there too.
Like, Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, classic. Oh,
so good.
Reservoir Dogs is a great movie.
Oh, my camera.
So I was trying to, dude, I thought I was having flashbacks to Omegle for a second there. I thought you were about to do some weird shit.
Guys, if you can see what I can see.
This is not the website I was supposed to be on.
Who are you guys' celebrity crushes now?
Now, fuck.
I can give you my, I've probably got two main ones. For me, it'd be Isla Fisher.
She's gorgeous.
Okay. A redhead.
And different. Rita Ora.
You still Rita Ora.
What do you mean still? It'll never end.
That's
so hard.
I haven't really thought about that for a while.
Yeah, I don't engage with that kind of like content.
Alyssa Milano came straight to my head when you asked me that question, but now I'm just like,
just like watch a movie or a TV show or just see like a celebrity.
I think a lot of people are attractive.
And you just go, oh, they're special. They're special.
I feel like everyone in Hollywood's attractive.
I mean, it's part of the job, right?
Yeah. It's hard to pick.
I mean, ugly people don't make it unless you're really funny. But ugly people don't make it in Hollywood otherwise. Even the funny people, they still have to be somewhat attractive.
Ugly people make it. Have you seen Zach Galifianakis?
Yeah, but he's funny. That's what you said.
Sorry. I didn't hear that.
I was like, you have to be funny. Otherwise, you can't.
Well, you got to have personality, of course. I mean, why would they hire an ugly, boring person for a movie? What's that going to achieve?
Yeah, but there's a lot of pretty people that don't have a personality and aren't funny, and they make it.
That's true. What's your point though, Tim?
I'm just saying ugly people can't make it in Hollywood. That's what I said.
Yeah.
That was my point.
It's true. It is true.
Get to the hot goss.
But no. But I disagree with that point. I feel like ugly people can make it. Then you gave it a disclaimer saying they have to be funny.
Then I said, they have to be funny. Unless they're funny.
So ugly people can make it.
Yeah. But you have to be funny. Yeah. You have to have other qualities besides, you know.
Well, yeah, looks. I mean, I hope.
Pretty people don't even check their privilege, you know? I think we should chalk a hashtag pretty people privilege.
I would hope that ugly people that have got to Hollywood have worked on some other skill in their life. Because if they don't got looks going for them, they need to have something, you know what I mean?
I suppose we get a lot of like actresses that used to be singers. So maybe that could be like, if you're talented at something.
I feel like what it seemed like a lot of people would get into any sort of performing career and then they could just pivot. They're like, once I get an audience, I'll just take them with me and pivot. That's what all the Disney people did. They're like, all right, well, I'm an actor. But then near the end, when they started aging out of Disney, they're like, oh, I can actually sing too. And then all of a sudden, all these Disney people have music albums.
They've already got
and then Disney's band. Made their own record albums and shit.
Yeah.
What are...
I just quickly on that one. I read not long ago that the reason Miley Cyrus had to change her name because like legally her name wasn't Cyrus or something like that, or wasn't Miley. She had a different name, but because all of the record deals and stuff were under Miley Cyrus, she had to change her name to that. Otherwise like Disney would own all the shit still. And I'm like, That's crazy. So then she started and most of it was on Hannah Montana. So then she became out as Miley Cyrus so she can actually own her shit. And I'm like, all this fucking dodgy shit in the background.
Imagine if Disney bought Laurie's Plumbing Company.
They did.
They probably own it.
Yeah.
They probably own it in some degree. They're like,
Was that Yaz? Yeah, I made Yaz chuckle.
she's like the producer, just laughing in the background.
Yeah,
we should hire someone just to giggle in the background, laugh at our jokes.
You know, I like that sense of approval when she laughs at my lame jokes. Yeah,
I mean, if she's not gonna laugh, someone has to.
I mean, she's got a pretty like narrow scope of humor. I feel like so if I can make her laugh, hard. I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah, you're right. She's hard to get going.
Like she doesn't like stand up comedy.
That's fair. Well. I think stand-up's pretty overrated.
You're wrong too. Yeah, I feel like actually, I feel like Laurie and Yaz would have a very similar sense of humor. Yeah.
They're both dead inside.
That's what it is. My bad.
They're just dead inside, dude. I think stand up is good, but some people, it's just like it depends on the person. Depends on the
I feel like nowadays most stand up I watch, I will watch it and like I might find it funny, but I don't find myself laughing out loud unless it's like particular people.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I find that stand up is also better to watch with a group. Like I can't really watch stand up comedy specials by myself and enjoy them.
Especially
like if I had like three or four people to bounce off with where we're all laughing at that, where it's more energetic that you're all laughing at one thing, it's way better.
Yeah, live comedy is a lot better. The vibe is way there. Better. You just laugh naturally.
Well, even when we're all at your house, Zah, and when you were living with Lawton, and I think maybe Laurie was there too, but we all just watched one of Joe Rogan's specials. It was fucking hilarious, but it was way better.
I don't even remember that.
All together. Mm. It was a long time ago. It was back when Laurie still owned the house in
Palmy
Street. Yeah, yeah. The Palmy house.
The good old days. Oh,
dude. That in Brownlee Street where like all of a sudden it was just the hangout spot.
That was dangerous.
It was dangerous, yeah. When people in the group started buying houses, I was like, it's gonna be a lot of people in these houses at all times.
Party houses.
It was like a revolving door. But then my mum was happy because then her place wasn't a revolving door anymore because I wasn't living there.
Yeah.
Her and Casey were like, why do all these people keep walking into my fucking house?
It's our house. Mum and sister. Well, that was it. When I used to live down in the ensuite at Dad's place, it was just like, come round, just come round, come into my ensuite. Like, I pay rent now. Dad can't tell me what to do. Like, I'm a tenant. I'm not just his son. I'm now a tenant.
I have rights now, Dad.
Literally, like Dad was pretty cool with that. He was just like, you know what? He pays rent. He does. You know, he's an adult now. He can have people, but Dad was pretty chill with it as well. So
my mom was very chill. My mom should have killed me years ago. I was a little piece of shit, but she was way too chill than she needed to be. Like, especially because
I feel like your older siblings wore her down.
They're 100%. She was so done. She was so done with all being parent.
Yeah,
she's like, I don't want to be a parent anymore. Just don't die, Tim. I'm like, all right, I'll do my best. But I was a little shit though.
Yeah, we know.
I think
we
that's
know.
A good place to leave it. That's a good place to leave it. I'm a little shit.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us, Laurie. It was always good.
It's been an absolute pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
And I miss you. And I'll have to come up to the gong soon.
Yeah.
Do it. Don't get COVID, Laurie.
Yeah.
I know there's a long weekend in June, I think, for King Charles' birthday or whatever they call it now.
It'll be cold.
Oh, we're busy. Never mind. We're busy.
Yes, we're busy.
Wait till spring when the weather starts to heat back up.
Yeah, true. Just go there and be like, "What do you want to do? Go to the beach?"
Freezing.
You can come hang out with me instead, Laurie.
We actually just went up last weekend. We went up to Gosford for Rachel's birthday. We went to we were in Terrigal. Fuck, it's nice there.
Yeah, where Kyle is. That's so nice.
Fucking beautiful.
So close to me too. Like it was like an hour. It would have been an hour train.
We had hungover breakfast on the beach. Oh, it was actually great.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
I want hungover breakfast on the beach, but
I was feeling a bit shitty. Had some hungover breakfast, a bit of coffee. Oh, cleaned me right up.
A good bacon and egg roll fixes all ailments.
No, I can't have bacon egg rolls at the moment. Gotta watch my cholesterol, Timmy. I had to have a salmon. I had salmon bagel. It was good. It was good shit.
I'm having bacon and egg. Cholesterol be damned. I'm having my bacon and eggs.
Have fun with heart disease.
Sure something else will get me before that.
That's true.
All right. Love you, boys. We'll see everyone next week and stay average.
Stay average.
Stay average.
Bye.